Welcome to the For Narcotics Anonymous podcast. Here we share audio recordings of NA members sharing their experience, strength, and hope. If you are a drug addict or think you have a drug problem, you are welcome to attend an NA meeting. Go to www.nahelp.org/meetings to find a meeting near you. On this website, you will also find more information about the Narcotics Anonymous program. Thanks for listening to this recording.
I'm an addict. Can you hear it? Is it on it? I'm gonna do this my way. I'm gonna be like Elvis. I may not be as pretty as him, but I'm gonna be like Elvis. Do it my way. You know, I'd like to start introducing each one of y'all. Introduce yourself. Tell me your clean day. My name is David. I'm an addict. Mine is the greatest clean day in the world. It's easy. 9393. Go on, Ram.
John, I'm an addict.
Hey, John.
320-88.
All right.
Brian, an addict, 1987.
All right. David, I'm an addict, Roanoke, Virginia, 7516.
Yeah.
I'm in the phone, I'm an addict.
All right.
Thanks, Brian, I'm an addict, July 3rd, 2006.
Thank you. She's not an addict, but she lives with an addict. She's fucked. Okay. Thank y'all. The reason I done that is to show you. At least I'm not the old fucking timer here today. So many times I sit in a meeting and the closest person to me might have 10 years. And it, you know, it's strange. Because, you know, there was a lot of people in the first 10 years that I was here getting clean that are not sitting in these rooms because they chose to to go back out into the lifestyle. You know, I'm sure that the oldest one here knows thousands of people that's went out, come in here and act like they got it and went out and they're dead, if they're lucky. Because, see, we have a thing called Who's an Addict, and it says jails, institutions, and death. See, I think they ought to go back to the declaration of character, because this addict, I wanted death. Many times I looked for death. Just too chicken shit to do it. They put me in jails quite a few places in the state of Kentucky. That didn't keep my ass clean. They put me in an institution. I tried to take over that fucker. So, you know, that won't keep this addict clean. But there's a thing that's called worse. It's that insanity of that insanity. See, I'm an addict. When I go to meeting, I hate people sit there and say, drug of choice. If you got a fucking drug of choice, you're at the wrong fucking place. Get up and leave. I had preferences. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm an addict. I've been an addict since day one because it was given to me in a fucking baby bottle, that liquid substance. I got clean when I was 36 years old. I just had 29 years. I'm 65. So for 36 years, I had no idea that there was another way to live other than doing dope. I'd like to tell my girlfriend here. From 84 to 91, I only know small things like where I lived. Some of my work I done. I worked with thoroughbreds, horses. I can remember some of their names. I can remember some songs. Sometimes I can't remember what year this fucker was out, but I can remember it. You know, I remember I lived in Maryland. I remember I went to Florida down through 95. I remember that shit. But there was days that I'd done dope. I'd sleep 2 hours if lucky, get up and work and do dope. Sleep 2 hours, get up, work, and do dope. For long periods of time, I lived on the dope. You know, I didn't buy dime bags. I bought pounds. You know, I went from being a hot walker to being an assistant trainer, because you know why? The assistant trainer had access to the medicine cabinet. I took anything. I'm an addict who took birth control one time to get fucking high. That's why they call me Crazy Dave. My girlfriend at the time told me it fucked me up because I was a male and it's made for female. Well, guess what? I was already fucked up. I thought, I'll take me one. I didn't take one. I took the whole fucking thing. Didn't get no pussy for a week or two because I refused to wear the rubber. But, you know, I come out of a life of just existing. My girlfriend went maybe 3 schools in her fucking life. I went many as 3 a year. Sometimes same school 2 or 3 times. 1 year I went maybe a month, the whole year. I didn't know, because I was fucking doing dope. I was a 9-year-old fucking dope dealer. I was a 5-year-old fucking bootlegger. I'd steal it from my family and hide it for Sunday. They'd buy that shit. But I always made sure that I had me some. You know, I don't remember. See, it pisses me off when I hear people talking about, well, I didn't get high till I was 18. Why the fuck did you wait to that long? That used to be my mentality. Why did you wait till you was 18 or 21? I heard a guy one time, he didn't get high till he was 60. And he was about 62 at that time. I'm talking about killing him. I thought, well, fuck a duck, man. You ain't used. See, that was my mentality. I've learned something. It ain't what you used that makes you an addict. It's what you think. If you're lucky enough to have a job and you go to work on Monday and you get paid on Friday, but Tuesday of that week you're figuring out how you're going to get dope for the next week. Now, that's an addict. When you got a pocket full of dope or a vehicle full of dope or a house full of dope, and you're trying to figure out how to get more dope because you ain't got enough. Because you're so fucking scared that they ain't gonna be there, that they ain't there. You know, I had a sponsor that got killed a few years ago on Easter. And me and him, you sit and talk. We come in these rooms to see one thing. We're waiting for that addict to come in here that's high, that's been here, coming in, back in, jumping 10 feet high and telling us how to fucking use dope. Because guess what? We're going to break that son of a bitch's arm so he can tell us. Because see, I don't want to quit doing dope. I just celebrated 29 years, but I don't want to quit doing dope. But I can't live that lifestyle. See, that's the thing. I can't live that life no more. Hell, I was getting bald and gray by the time I was 19. I looked like I was 50. I come in here, I wore a size small and shirt. Hell, I got a 3 or 4X this time. It didn't happen overnight. Brian was talking about us splitting off. I got tired of hearing about this bullshit and having, you know, getting service work. They wasn't doing this and that for us and this and that. And me and my best friend, that he'll be here later tomorrow and things, I know. We formed this region in the fucking front seat of my Pontiac. We finagled, conned, lied, done whatever it took in Lexington. There was 14 meetings in Lexington. There was one meeting voted against staying with the other area. 13 went with us. Eastern Kentucky had one area at the time. They decided they had done joined Crickna. We went over and told them how fucking far it was, what would they be treated like. Because, see, you had Owensboro was an area. You had to cross the river in Evansville, which is right across the fucking river. They controlled the fucking region. They was the chair. They was activities. They was H&I. They was PI. They was it. The only rest of the areas in the state of Kentucky at the time had an RCM. Everything else was being controlled with two areas. One home group in an area, basically. They took my sponsor I got now. He's a big world man. I ain't, in case you want to know it. I fucking hate world. They can cram it up. They can cram this fucking seating us up their ass and turn it sideways. What I always told him. You know, he told me, you can't do that. I looked at him, I said, motherfucker, I can do whatever I want to. You don't know me. I'm a hillbilly. We went from 19 fucking meetings about 20 years ago to well over 100 now. Four parts of the state that wasn't even part of us. We was told by a guy in Mohai that we had to have three areas to form a region. Well, Somerset was far enough away from Lexington, he'd had one group. I thought, well, fucking Owensboro's one group. It's an area. Why can't Somerset be? So we had our third area. You know, they told us we couldn't do it. They told us we'd never have a convention. We had a couple addicts borrowed $500 and put on our first in less than 2 years after we formed. Barton of Five was a place called Cumberland Falls. We had a merchandise chair that sold over $11,000 worth of fucking merchandise in 2 years. Home group put it on. Ari didn't. Home group did, because that's the only one that was interested in it. The people that was there, Brian and different ones, will tell you it's the best thing they've ever been to. Everybody had fun. Had great speakers. Had great fellowship. We had people from all over the state of Kentucky, not just our area and our region, but we had people from Louisville. And everywhere we had a speaker from California, Tony. One of the guys that didn't know how to read to help put that fucking little gray bucket together. If you see mistakes in it, that was Tony, because he didn't know how to read. He was the first person I'd ever heard on a tape. He talked about holding his wife while she died of an overdose. So I noticed. I didn't even remember the guy's name. I'd heard it in 94. This was, hell, I can't remember. She's got a shirt on. But, you know, I didn't figure there'd be anybody here much from Lexington, because they don't really like fucking strong NA. They got their little fucking women's thing going over in town or somewhere or another. Northern Kentucky, them little assholes got them a little function going on. grassroots got them a little fucking function going on. Because, see, they don't want to hear, they want to hear hardcore fucking NA. Because they like the easier, softer shit. So if you like easier, softer shit, leave. I don't give a fuck. Brian can tell you, I went to Maysville speaking, they was a bunch over talking. I told them, shut the fuck up or hit the road. I got shit chewed out of me. I said, hey, man, I'm a big boy. I can handle it. Have respect for a person. You know, the fellas that's going to speak tomorrow are old timers. They're dinosaurs. No, they're fucking dinosaurs. They ain't dead yet. You know, you'll hear recovery. You know, you won't hear no easier, softer shit. If they are, they ain't fucking addicts. You know, I know an addict. I'm sorry. I hate to talk about Steve, but I know an addict. I've known him for 20-some years, and I've never heard him had a fucking problem. Everybody in this fucking arid world thinks he's goddamn fucking Mr. N.A. Me, I get up with problems. I go to bed with problems. But, you know, as long as I don't put dope in me, I win. And I don't mind talking about my problems. I'm an asshole. I had me a special shirt made. I told a guy a while ago, asked me, could he get one? And I said, you have to get it made. It says, live clean or die. Motherfucker. It don't say just live clean or die. You know, because the thing is, I am a motherfucker. I don't guess I'll ever be nice and cool and laid back and serene and happy, the way most people think of being happy. You know, as long as I get up and put my fucking pants on and not use dope, I'm happy. I have exactly what I want. I don't live in a big fancy house. I don't even own a car right now. My girlfriend owns the vehicles. I drive them. She buys me about whatever I want. You know, I'd buy her whatever I can afford that she wants. We eat out 4 or 5 times a month. You know, I used to have my favorite food was a tomato sandwich. You know what a tomato sandwich is? Yeah. Pack of crackers and a bag of ketchup from Wendy's. Them some bitches took their ketchup off the thing. Can't even get that no more. I'd starve to death. Because I used to run in Wendy's and grab a pack or two of ketchup and grab a pack and full of crackers. That was my sandwich. Eat, drink creek water. Drink water out of fucking holes where goddamn cows had stepped and then filled in. If I got thirsty. Steal clothes off of somebody's clothesline. You city people may not know about clotheslines, but hillbillies know about clotheslines. Steal a pair of pants and off clothesline, wear them some bitches, so they'd stand up on their own without starch. You know, might wash my ass once a year. Hell, I didn't give a shit if I stunk, because people I run with didn't care if it stunk, as long as I had dope. That was all they give a shit about. I didn't run with people who didn't do dope. You know, when I was a teenager, if you didn't do dope, you didn't go nowhere with me, and I didn't go nowhere with you. You know, I remember going in church one time I'd con some people in church about some shit one time, because they found out what I was. When you're laying in the preacher's yard fucking passed out, or you've been on a run for a day or two, they kind of don't like you around them, their kids no more. Especially impressionable kids, teenagers. Even though I wasn't but 20-something myself. I got like a third cousin, he's dead now, that his mom accused me of running him, took a boy out of church and made him an outlaw. Because he started being my driver. Because, see, I didn't have a driver's license. I was 40 years old before I ever had a driver's license. I didn't think I needed them. They just piece of plastic. You know, that didn't help me drive. I drove over about 15, 20 states, never had a license. So they couldn't get me for DUI. They got me for driving drunk, but they never get me for DUI because I didn't have a license. They couldn't have never took them. But, you know, getting off of the insanity, that was just to show you that I qualify to be an addict. I usually have an IP that I read. It has the questions, but I don't have it. So I got Brian to give me a book. It says, who's an addict? I am. Simple as that. I'm an addict. Real simple. I believe an addict. I'll die an addict. I was born an addict. I only hang out with addicts. I have a few family members I see once in a while, but I don't hang out with them. You people are the ones I hang out with. Yeah. I know I got to talk a bunch tonight. I was told some of y'all might not know it, but I can talk. I learned, you know, when I come in here that I've been quite too damn long. You know, we used to have what we call field parties. They'd be maybe three, four times what they are right here, partying together, teenagers and young guys and girls in their 20s. When it started out, I would be right there with them. I had to live in the program. I want the questions. I was at it because I got to looking around, and one day there was about five of us sitting in one corner of the field, like, and the rest of them was over there playing music and enjoying themselves. Us five was sitting over doing some dope, so that showed me I was an addict. What is Narcotics Anonymous program? It's a spiritual God-given program for addicts like me. They can set back with 29 years without doing dope, and 40-some years without doing dope. And a guy, Vito's got, 60-some years right at it, not doing dope. And some addicts doing, one day it ain't doing dope. Because it's another thing I disagree with in our fellowship. It says the newcomer's the most important person. No, it ain't. Every motherfucking one of you is the most important person sitting here. From that person with the most time to that person with the one day. Because if they ain't that person here with the most time, who in hell's going to show that person with the one day how to do it? See, when I come into fellowship, I come in the sort of, they say, and go to the back door. I come through AA, because that's all we had in Southern Kentucky at the time. And it didn't fit me exactly, even though I liked that substance. But they was too laid back, too nice, never got violent, never got upset. Didn't seem like they done any of that shit I did. Am I an addict? That's the right one. I'm going to read this the way I do it all the time. Following the list of questions, do you avoid people and places that do not condone to your usage? Yep, I did. Do you spend your money on drugs other than food and other necessities? I told you, I stole fucking ketchup and crackers. That was my food. And out of the garbage can. Do you think anyone in the world is crazy except yourself? Man, I'm a motherfucking genius. Don't you know that? I got an IQ of 159. So the rest of you fuckers are crazy. Bullshit. Does the thought of running out of drugs leave you with the feeling of impending doom? I just said it. I'd have the drugs on Monday or Tuesday, and I'd be worried about the fucking next week and the next month. Do you guard your supply? Motherfucker, I only guard my supply. I guard y'all's supply if you're doing dope with me. Because if you're doing dope with me, your dope was my dope. Do you get more drugs when your supply is running low? I never waited to run out. That's the next part of it. I got dope as much as I could. Couldn't get enough. You could fill it up you could fill that van up there full, and I'd been still looking for more dope. Do you like to use a loan? Hell yeah. If I was doing it alone, that was my dope I was doing if I was alone. If I was with y'all, I'd doing y'all's dope. Have you tried substituting one drug for another, thinking that one particular drug was your problem? Man, I didn't have no problem other than finding dope. That's what I'm saying. I didn't have no drug choice. So hell, if it was there, it was my, you know, it worked. Do you neglect your responsibility because you'd rather get high? Well, I went through at least half a dozen relationships, maybe 20 jobs. No telling what else, because it got in the way of my doing dope. Do you use because your family drives you crazy? My family was crazy. There's less people in my family straight than they are using. Majority of us use. Do you con doctors for illegal drugs, tell them yourself that it's okay to use them because they aren't illegal? Well, I never did con doctors because I never could afford to go to one. And I wasn't lucky enough to know what a fucking free clinic was. So, but the thing was, you know, I didn't worry about this if it's illegal. Because I lived in southern Indiana. See, booze is legal in southern Indiana at the time. I wouldn't drink up there. I'd move other shit up there because it had to be illegal. I'd come down to southern Kentucky where it was illegal to drink. You had to get it from a bootlegger. I'd drink like a fish. I had to have an extra kick of being illegal. You know, it's like stealing. Wasn't no fun if somebody give me something. I remember telling people sometimes, just lay it down there, I'll get it later. I felt like I was stealing it. If they handed it to me, it was given to me. If I took off with it, I was stealing it. Do you have more than one prescription at a time from different doctors? If I could have went to doctors, I'd have had as many as I could have got. I know addicts that's pulled their damn teeth to go get medicine from doctors. I wouldn't have had a tooth in my head if I could have figured out how to done that shit. Do you use something to help you get going in the mornings or slow down at night? I use things to get me going in the morning. I use things to get me going at night. I use things to get me slowed down in the morning. I use things to slow me down at night. I'm an addict that like to take alcohol and speed. If you know what that'll do to you, then you know that question flat out. Do you use illegal or hard drugs and think there's nothing that can be done to kick the habit? Man, I didn't think I could kick the fucking booze, let alone any of the other shit. Have you ever been in trouble with friends, family, schools, jobs, or the law because of drug-related incidents? I've been in trouble with my family a little bit. Not much with them. School, I got kicked out of school in the first year of high school. Law. Too many damn times. Have you been arrested for drinking or driving drunk? Nope. I never did do that. Could never get caught. Didn't mean I didn't do it. I just never get caught. Do you steal drugs or money to buy drugs? I'd steal your damn drugs and help you look for them. And if you thought I wouldn't, and you caught me stealing your drugs, we're going to have a fight. Because I'm going to tell you, motherfucker, you lied on me. Because I've done that. I got caught throwing some boy's beer out beside the house one day. Whole six-pack. Guy caught me. I swore up and down he didn't see me do that. And we ended up in fight over it. I went in my little building. I headed up behind the house. And I had four or five cases of liquid up there. And it wasn't a goddamn one of them a case. They was all brands. Because whoever come there, they'd lose two or three. Do you have empty alcohol containers in your vehicle? Well, I never had many vehicles, but I tell you about the ilky. I used to walk the roads and pick up bottles and drain them into each other. You know, gin, vodka, whiskey, bourbon, scotch, Kool-Aid, whatever the fuck it was in that bottle, went in that bottle. So I'd have something to drink. Do you smoke your plants before it was 2 feet tall? Oh, yeah. If that son of a bitch had four leaves on it, he'd get smoked if I was out. Do you steal your friend's drugs? I stole anybody's drugs except my own. Do you fight over the the cotton shot or the biggest line. I don't know. I put it this way. If he was on the one end of the line, I'm more likely was on the other one with a bigger straw. Have you ever shot or snorted your best friend's morning wake up high? Fuck yeah. They wasn't my friends, but they didn't let me have their high. Now, this I ain't never done. Have you ever sharpened a needle on a matchbox? I've never done needle drugs. One reason. I'm a dumbass addict, and I grew up with four or five older brothers, and they learned me how to sell plasma. You don't see no tattoos, because I know that if I run out of everything, that I could go to a plasma and make money. But I also know that my older brother, the first thing to do is tell you drop them arms down, and if the needle marks, you can't sell. I have a year clean. I'm dating this girl in a treatment center, and she's talking about shooting dope between her toes. Now, I'm a hillbilly. Now, all the time I've seen dope being shot, you know, with people wrapping them around their arms, doing it right in there. You talking about being mad? I stopped in the middle of the road. I said, bitch, get out of my fucking car. I was mad because seeing this head at the time, I had a year's clean. I thought that was the dope that would have worked. Maybe the needle would have worked. Maybe I wouldn't have had the consequences with that. See, that was my thinking at the time. Because like I say, on TV, dragging it or something, they'd always tie their arm off. And like I said, my older brothers taught me to sell on plasma. Told me you couldn't have tattoos because you couldn't do it for a while. And I couldn't, that was my last line of defense to get high. Is getting selling plasma. Oh, do you collect? I can't say that word, but y'all know what it is. Stuff you use. Many as I could. I had half a dozen of them pipes, corn cob pipes, and everything else. Do you take drugs that you don't prefer? Nope. I never took a drug I didn't prefer. I preferred all of them. Do you do things under the influence that you would not do while straight? Like I said, I don't remember being straight very much when I could get around doing stuff. Do you hide your drugs even if you live alone? Yeah. I know right now where there's six fucking damn beers that's been laying for fucking 40-some years beside the road. Because I hid them there. Because the law was after me. Do you have the good times gone from your using? When was good times? I guess early 80s might have been good times. But the mid 80s, they were getting a little worse. And with the end of my using, I was so sick and tired of living, like I said, the death was not scaring me. Have you searched other people's medicine cabinets? You better not let me in your house if you had a medicine cabinet and not go in the bathroom with me and hold my hand while I pissed. Because if you had anything in there, it was gone when I left. Do you think you must be high to have a good time? I was always high when I had a good time. Because I didn't have time. If I wasn't high, I was depressed. Simple as that, I was depressed as hell. Because I was trying to figure out where I was going to get my fucking dope so I'd feel good. Do you ever question your own sanity? When I come in the room, that second step, whatever, the second one, restore the sanity. I asked one of my first friends, or the first person I talked to much in the rooms, I said, what is sanity? I had no idea. Because I had been doing so much insane shit for so damn long. You know, I can remember me and my cousins, we used to steal gas to get high and go out and run around. And we went to state cop's house one night, or his trailer. My cousin, he could suck a goddamn golf ball through a fucking water hose. So he always done the sucking on the hose. When I'm laying up against this fucking state trooper's trailer door, I stop that motherfucker from coming out. That's like this, up against the fucking door. How insane is it? Goddamn trailers have two doors, and fucking cops have 9mm, 357 and stuff. Them fucking trailer door won't stop that shell. But you couldn't have told me that at the time. So how insane can you be? Stuff like that. Do you lie about what or how much you've used? How dare you ask me what I fucking used when I was doing dope? Do you use drugs to overcome your fear of people? If I didn't have the dope, I was scared of a fucking baby if I didn't have dope. You put dope in me and I was the meanest motherfucker walking. Have you considered suicide? Many times. I was just too chicken shit to do it. Are you preoccupied with the getting high? I always thought about getting high. If I was awake, I was trying to figure out how I was going to get high. Take me out of reality. Have you tried to control your using? Yeah, I tried to control it. I can say I tried to control it. I tried different little substances every once in a while. I think, well, that didn't work better than the other. So I guess that was controlling it. Do all of your activities center around drugs? Yep. I didn't go nowhere they wasn't drugs allowed. I didn't go to church. If I went to church, it was drugs out in the parking lot. And that's where I hung a lot of times. Are you ashamed of your using? Nope. Never was. Didn't give a shit what anybody thought about me. So why would I be ashamed? Have you ever overdosed? Yeah. Have you ever tried to quit and failed? A time or two, I tried to quit. Just slow down. Take a little less. Never worked. Have you chose your friends by the drugs they have? If you didn't have drugs, I had no use for you. I don't give a shit. You could have been the Linda Carter, and I wouldn't have had no fucking use for you if you didn't have drugs. You could have been Donald Trump, and I wouldn't have had no use for you if you didn't have drugs, if I couldn't figure out how to steal your money. Do you think you might have a drug problem? Fuck no. I don't think I had a drug problem. I knowed I had a drug problem. Do you want to stop using, but you can't do it alone? Damn straight. I cannot quit doing dope by myself at any time. By myself. I got 600 and some people on my Facebook friends list. They might be 40 on there that are not in the rooms. There's people on my Facebook from California to Maine, a couple overseas, that I'll never meet. But they're addicts. And I know all I got to do is see that little green dot and climb in on their webpage, whatever you call it, and get help. I don't do fucking Zoom. I think that's the most sick thing our fellowship ever come up with. I can't hug you motherfuckers on Zoom. I can lie to you on that fucking phone. On that Zoom. I can't hardly lie to you looking you in the face. When I first come in here, I could have told you to lie and stood on a stack of Bibles and kept it up for a year or two. Same lie. Because, see, that's what I know how to do. Today, I tell you why I can't do that. Here a few years ago, like I said, I had a sponsor got killed. I went down to do a step with him down in Tennessee. I got lost. And I rode around this goddamn fucking county, these damn hills down there in southern or northern Tennessee. I spent an hour looking for his house. And I guarantee you I had figured out five things I was going to tell him about. I'd stopped to see the yard sale. I'd stopped and got me something to eat. I'd stopped over here to friends. I had all these plans what I was going to tell him. Stepped out of the van, first thing he said, "You got lost, didn't you?" "Yeah, I sure did." I thought, what the fuck is this? See, I'd done planned all these good scenarios, how great I was, how I'd got lost. You know, I hadn't got lost. You know, I just, you know, doing other things. Even though I was early. But see, in my head, I was going to be late. You know, I was going to put, you know, I was taking his time, his precious time, to be with me. Like it mattered. And like I say, as soon as I stepped out of the van, I told the fucking truth. I thought, what the hell is this? This ain't me. Because like I say, in my head, I done come up with all these fucking ideals, why I could do this, I could do that, how I was going to do this, you know, tell him this and that, all these big lies. And the truth was what come out. And that's when I got thinking, you know, maybe this shit is working. Because, see, I stayed around here about 5 years just to piss you motherfuckers off. Not you, but, you know, people like us. I done it intentionally. I'd go in meetings, man. Start shit. Loved it. Loved stirring that shit up. Getting that controversy going. Tell you another little thing about this damn fellowship. Don't want to do them fucking men's step. Got a job with Amazon here in Lexington a few years ago, back when I could work. Was making a meeting maybe a week, if I could do that. Insanity, hell. You know, living in that insanity, really. Went to a meeting one night, and there was a bunch of people in there I fucking didn't like. And something was said, and I sat there, I said, "I hope some of you son of a bitch shoot your goddamn arm full of fucking air and die, motherfuckers." And start naming them. "Oh, you talking about, it's going to be fun." Went and talked to a good friend of mine. I think he's Brian's sponsor, George B. He looked at me, he said, "Dave, was that what you should have done?" You know, after I started back making a few meetings, I got thinking, you know, that wasn't what I should have done. And I had, and see, I don't believe if I do something against you, pulling you over there or somewhere and telling you that I'm sorry, I believe in the thing. I went in a fucking meeting and done it. So guess where I got to fucking make the amends to a man? In the fucking meeting. And you talking about an ego deflator is going back in there and telling these same people that you're sorry that you said that and really meaning it. See, there's a difference in just words. It's like a surrender prayer. You can say that surrender prayer 500 times, and guess what? It's fucking words. And then you put meaning behind them words, it ain't shit. So if you're sitting here and you've said that surrender prayer 500 fucking times or 1,000 or 10,000, and it's just fucking words, you might want to get you a fucking dictionary. You might want to sit down and start defining what each one of them fucking words mean. See, I've learned that. I can quote these steps. Who's an addict? How it works. I've read them so many times and hear them so many times. I can quote them some bitches by heart. I don't need these fucking papers and books. But when I start down and start defining what that shit means, what it means in here, not just in here, but in here, that's when you get the program. You know. Because, see, I see so many people. I think that's what is killing a lot of us addicts. We're coming in here and we're getting the words and we think we're doing okay and we ain't internalizing what they mean. And see, they start internalizing, you just hear. See, like I said, my clean day is 9/3/93. But I didn't start working the programs around 2000, really working it. So 7 years I sat in these rooms claiming I was clean, which I was. I didn't do dope. I wasn't working those steps. If I had a sponsor, it was just in name only. I was not happy. I was waiting on the day that I could figure out I could use again. You know, all kinds of insane shit. I thought for like 7 years. It took a car wreck. I had one of my, I guess she's like a niece there. Her mama was married to my brother for years. I had her and her three kids in the car with me. I hadn't been doing dope, wasn't doing anything wrong, but I went around the curve and I wrecked. I had a little Nissan. I had three kids, two dogs, and her and me in the car. And I flipped it upside down. I had a sunroof. I stuck my head through the sun. Didn't get, all thing got hurt was my mouth. I busted my mouth. They didn't get a scratch on them. If I'd been a few seconds further up, I'd hit her uncle on her mama's side in the back end when it wrecked. I went to the guy that was sort of my first what you call sponsor, the guy that I talked to. And I had a real bad habit. Every word I said on, if I said three words, two of them was cuss words. See, I'm not quite as bad. And he looked at me. He said, "You know, that might be your high parenting. You might want to watch your mouth since you smashed it." I started getting better because I listened. Before, I never listened. I didn't listen to any motherfuckers told me to speak up. I always thought I knowed more. I know deader. I wasn't doing dope, but I know more than y'all did. See, that's the insanity still in there. I know more than y'all do. See, that's why I love sitting in here with people who's got more clean time than me, because see, they can teach me some things. I know how to listen to you people that's just coming off your dope. I get that. What I don't understand is when the good shit, how you get through the good shit. Because see, I can remember the times when people would do things for me and I'd wonder why. The girl, like I say, she's like my niece because I've noticed since she's little. She'd do my laundry every week. And every once in a while, she'd put me a clean pair, bag of, you know, clean underwear in there, some new socks. And the first thing out of my mouth, I'm talking about like 6-7 years clean, is, "Bitch, what do you want?" Because, see, that was always before. If I done something for you, I was wanting your dope or something. If you done something for me, I figured that's the same thing was being done. You was wanting something. And I got that, didn't do that no more. You know, I'm proud. My girlfriend does things for me. She does whatever I want. I don't think she ain't done me. Pissed me off last year. I wanted a gun for Christmas. She ain't bought it yet. And I ain't let her forget it either. We went to Walmart to get it. I had the money laying on the counter. I pulled my driver's license out. And I've been driving on these some bitches for a fucking year without that. I'm being good. Didn't even know about it. No gun. We'll take her up there and use her. Can't do it because I'm there. Still ain't got that fucking gun. But I've got guns. I got a pistol, lays ahead of my bed. I got a double barrel and a single barrel, 12 gauges sitting in my gun cabinet. I got a 30-30 sitting in my gun cabinet. I got at least two 22s sitting in my gun cabinet. And I got a black powder gun sitting in my gun cabinet. I ain't shot none of them motherfuckers. Got bullets for all but the black powder. I just want them. See, that's another fix. Another thing, making me feel a little better. Instead of doing the liquid dope or the other kind of dope, I'm doing the gun dope. You know? And in my head, sometimes I still think, hell, I want to go get me another pistol. My 22 Magnum ain't good enough. I want one of the big guns. What the fuck do I need it for? I don't really need any of them. But they'll fix me. They'll make me feel better. They give me a little high. You know, when I got to 30-30, I didn't think about shells being hard to get. Because before this damn pandemic, or whatever Brian calls it, this line-demic. You know, I've had that. Didn't know I had it. Me and another addict over in Eastern Kentucky might be here tomorrow or something. We talked about it here a few years ago at March Madness. I know a whole bunch of us as fucking addicts has had this so-called pandemic. Hell, we're okay. We're still alive. Me and him sitting there talking. We've done so much shit to ourselves. This goddamn pandemic ain't gonna kill a fucking addict. We're too damn tough. If that's all things to kill us, shit, the damn dog we done would have killed us. You know, our lifestyle would have killed us. But, damn, I got quite a while yet to go. But lying ass fucking people don't want to do shit in service work because they don't like certain people. See, this is the first time in 29 years that I've got to speak over, other than being in a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, sharing in the meeting in Lexington, Kentucky. And there's got people up here claim they like me. But I ain't never asked Buck to speak for them or any of their things. Because they don't like rough recovery. They're fucking dealers. Oh, you'll be okay. You'll be fine. They like that easier, softer shit. Where people talk nice. Talk that good shit. The half of them fucking don't live, I don't think. You know. I'm a little rough around the edges yet. I scared some shit out of some people a few years ago at Barton the Five on Sunday morning. I shared real nice and cool and calm, collective. Real nice and sharing. Didn't raise my voice. I had about 5 addicts come over and ask me, who in the fuck are you? See, one of my old sponsors over in Eastern Kentucky, they call him Mad Mike. A few people know him. He's one of the most vulgar assholes that ever walked in the fucking meeting. I hear some people talking about Ripley. After Barton the Five, a bunch of us went to Ripley next weekend. Me and him, they sort of moved the campfire meeting the next year because we kind of took over. They didn't want us to be taking over. The motherfucker pissed me off that night. About 4 o'clock that morning, I decided I was going to go get me some sleep. I went by him. I said, see you in the morning, Mike. Love you, Dave. Good night, Dave. I turned around. I said, what the fuck is this? Because, see, I figured, my head, I thought, he's going to call me a fucking pussy because I'm going to bed. But no, it was like, love you, Dave. Sweet dream, Dave. See you in the morning, Dave. See, that's the thing, the perspective of what you think. That's a lot of our trouble. We believe we know what somebody's going to do. I'm not a mind reader. I guarantee you, there's more like 4 or 5 of you people here fucking wish I'd shut my goddamn mouth. There's some here like it. But I bet there's 4 or 5 in this crowd wish you'd shut and say, I wish he'd shut his goddamn old mouth up. He don't know what the fuck he's talking about. See, that's what I think. I don't know what y'all people really thinking. But I perceive that's what you're thinking. And there's a lot of things. There's a lot of this program is not the simplest program in the world to get. It's the easiest thing you ever fucking do. If you think this is fucking hard, go out and do a lick of dope and try to quit again. See how that works for you. Think if you're new around here, think how it was when you were still out there trying to get your lick of dope, how hard that was. And here we got it rolled out for you. All you got to do is pick it up and do it with a sponsor. Not an ass kisser, but a sponsor. If your sponsor don't piss you off, you got the wrong fucking sponsor. You might as well have yourself as a sponsor. I don't see mine, but maybe once every year or so. He pisses me off all the fucking time. He pissed me off because he ain't my friend on Facebook. And I think he knows it. It's pissing me off. I think that's why he won't accept it. But he's pissed me off more times than not. He was the fucker who told me I couldn't start a new region. Think that didn't piss me off? you know. But I tell people, if your sponsor, if he don't piss you off or she don't piss you off, you got your own sponsor. Because if you got somebody that's agreeing with you, then you might as well do it yourself. You might as well be your own sponsor if everything you tell your sponsor he agrees with or she agrees with. Because if you did, why would you, if you didn't want to tell you what you really need to hear, why would you have them? You know. See, I've learned that. I learned that the hard way. Because like I say, the guy that was my so-called first sponsor, we just sat and talked because he's over another fellowship. They didn't have our workbook. They didn't work steps like we do. They thought, you know, just sitting down talking about them, that was working them. I can talk lies to you. I am a con, a thief, a liar, an asshole, all kinds of shit. I'm all that yet. I ain't changed. I'm still that person. I'm still an addict. I just don't use dope. I don't lie as much. I don't steal. I don't want to go back to jail. See, that's the thing. I don't want to go back to jail. Fayette County broke me from wanting to go to jail. Finally. A place broke me from wanting to go to jail. And it was the old jail. It ain't this new one out here on the road. It was one downtown. When you walk in there, and you, like I said, I'm a hillbilly, you walk in there and they take you up onto the seventh floor, and the only light you see is about 12 foot up, and it's a piece of glass about that thick, and there's lights outside. You don't know whether it's daylight or dark, and you ask the guard, and he looks at you and say, "What the fuck is it to you? I'll let you know what time it is when I want to." How dare them talk to this hillbilly that way? See, I'd been used to being where I'd grown up and think, hell, I know everybody in there. Know the jailer, know everybody in there most times. Hell, that'd like coming here to this place. It'd be like going to people I knowed. So it didn't bother me. Hell, they'd let me out of jail and I'd be back in there next day, if not that day. I've been locked up twice in the same day where I growed up. They'd let me out and got fucked up and went right back to jail. Hell, I could walk down the street. I could walk down the street, and if anything happened, guess what? If the cops see me, I got pulled in. Whether I done or not, I'd get questioned. If it happened, I got questioned. Because a good chance that I either know who done it or was involved in it. But see, I'm not that person anymore. What can I do? That's real simple. I can get up, put my clothes on, get in the vehicle, go to a meeting. Sure, the strength, the hope, and the love. That it, guess what? If this addict can do it for this long time, after all the shit I went through clean and using, there ain't a fucking one of you sitting in this room, or ain't a room, but anyone that's sitting under this shelter that can't do the same thing. I've come twice in the rooms. I've come close to killing somebody, literally. If it hadn't been another addict jumped up between me and one guy to cut him ear to ear with a Hot Wheel knife. I was sitting in a meeting one night and I was talking about me and a boy got up and smacked me when he didn't run. So the next night I walked in, pulled me a chair up, sat right down in front of him, laid my gun on my leg. I said, "Now, motherfucker, you want to hit me? Do it. I'll kill you." Me and that boy's friends. Other guy went out and used and died. So if you sitting here and you think some of us old farts are sitting around and things ain't gonna go, the old saying goes, Rambo on your ass. Better think twice. I got a good friend in the rooms that he never comes in the room he ain't packing. He's the guy in Eastern Kentucky that everybody called Mad Mike. He's always got a gun on him. I wouldn't hit him without his intended fight. These people here in Lexington, that guy sitting right back there, I told him one time I'd cut his damn hook. He told me cutting goes both ways. me and him back being friends. We didn't speak for 3-4 years. But see, that's the thing. I can be an asshole as long as I want to be. But you know who pays for it? It ain't him. It ain't the other people. It's me. I'm the one who has to pay for it. See, I'm the one who eats up. When I do something wrong, that's why I have to make the amends. If I do something wrong, and I feel like I got to make amends, I'm the one who's going to suffer for it. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes I'll suffer quite a while. Because, like I say, these addicts in these rooms, that I got an old sponsee right now that me and him's been into it for about 5 years now. Boy was like a son to me. We went everywhere together. Right now, I don't know if I'd have her to stop and pick him up if he was walking. I don't know whether I would. Because, see, I'm to the point. I finally got to the point I'd friend him on Facebook. Didn't do that for about 3 years. It may take another 3-4 years before I get back where I'll hug him. You know? But, you know, the thing is, I may miss out. So he might be the one who can save my ass one day. Because I'll tell you a little story about this saving ass shit. I used to hang out in Lexington. Few people around here know it. Well, I went to London, Kentucky one night. I thought, well, I'll get down, go down there, and I can let all my insane shit out, and they won't be nobody bother me. Motherfucker, I rolled into London, Kentucky, and there's 15 fucking addicts from Lexington, Kentucky, sitting there. Oh, what the hell is this? See, these is God things. I thought, what the shit is this? Old guy down there got the, next to the most clean time around Lexington, was sitting there. He said, you know what? Fellowship just don't need my ass, don't need just your ass, might need all of your asses. I thought, what the fuck? See, I thought it just needed me. Lexington didn't need my recovery. They didn't know how to recover. So I go to London and show them how to recover. And get told real quick that it don't just need me. Because, see, I understood what this guy said. He talks about, you know, what saves his ass might kill you, but what kills him might save you. You know, that makes sense now. See, what I've said might save some of y'all's asses, but if you live that shit, it might kill you too. But some of the shit y'all might say might kill my ass. See, that's why God's got to be in this fellowship. We can't do it. We can't do it with just us. It's got to be a God thing. It's always got to be a God thing of some kind. It don't have to be that dogma God in church. But it has to be a loving higher power. You know, it could be the same as the church, but it don't have to be. You know, because I've told some people, I said, you know, what about all our addicts like in Louisville and places that are Muslims? They're not Christians. Like a lot of them guys and girls that's been clean for many double-digit years. I know 2 or 3 addicts that are Hebrews. I even know some addicts that's atheists, they claim. But even though I don't understand how you could be an atheist and be clean, because I don't know how you would get anything loving out of that. But see, I don't have to. See, I've learned that is part of the secret of this fucking fellowship. I don't have to know why you're clean. All my business is about you being clean is try to help you stay clean. Guess what? Anyway, anything y'all feel about me ain't none of my fucking business. It's what I feel about me. You know, what I feel about David. Because I'm the only one who has to lay down. She lays down by me, but I'm the only one who lays down the same fucking spot that I'm in. Me. And if I'm okay laying down with me, then guess what? I'm good. I'm glad that some people like me. I'm also glad some people don't like me, because I was also taught in here, if you don't like me, you might want to fucking look at that and figure out why. You know, if I say something that pissed you off in the last hour, you might want to go and look at that. Why it pissed you off. Because guess what? When I'm here tomorrow, if some of these fellas and things piss me off, I'm going to sit back and look at why it pisses me off. I ain't going to get up and run out of the room. I used to, when I shirt down in Somerset, when I lived down there, there'd be 20 people in the fucking room. As soon as I opened my mouth, 15 of them would go outside. Well, guess what? There ain't a motherfucker one of them 15 still fucking clean. But them other five or six that sat there are still fucking clean. I've had maybe 7 sponsees in my fucking life. I lost one to the disease of addiction. I've got maybe one right now, a new guy. But my others that I had, I've got other sponsors, and they're fucking still clean. I had a couple die clean. I had one die using. I'd rather have 9 fucking people that got this program than have a fucking 100 that ain't got the fucking program. I know people's got 40 and 50 fucking sponsees. How in the hell do you have a life if you've got 50 fucking sponsees? I would like to know. I've been thinking about why some of these people, I need to ask them why, how they can handle 50 fucking sponsees and have a life. Hell, more than 3 at a time kill me. I don't want to talk to you fuckers, 50 of you in a week or a day or every hour. I'm sorry. Grow the fuck up. I tell mine, grow the fuck up. I have, like I said, the boy that I used to be like my son. He called me, I have a rule. You call me if I'm your sponsor once. I'll tell you my suggestion what to do about that problem if I know. Or I'll put you in contact with somebody that I've heard that might know how to work on that problem. The second time you call me, I'm going to say, now, what have you done about it in the last hour or so, or last day or so, whatever it's been. Third time you call me, I'm going to say, get that fucking basic text out. Open that fucking white page in there. And I said, when you get to that next page, you got some writing on it, start reading. And when you get to the end of it, at the end of the book where there's another white page, call me and tell me if you know the solution. But guess what? It's in there. There ain't a problem that we face as addicts in recovery that ain't in the basic text. The solution for it. And if any of you addicts around here that know that there's any problem that we can have that ain't the solution in the basic text, please come to me this weekend and tell me what it is, where it's at, what that problem is. And I'm going to guarantee you, I'm going to find somebody sometime this weekend that's going to tell you exactly where that fucking solution is and what page it's on. Because these people in these rooms, you might not want to start questioning some things, because they pull some shit out of these damn books where they've read so much. There's a lot of things said in our fucking rooms that ain't in these fucking books. The people quotes in here, it ain't in there. Yeah. If you don't believe it, everything you hear in the meetings that you hear over and over, start looking it up. Ask the people that say it where they know it's at in there. There's a lot of shit there. I don't know what's in there, what page it's on. But you know what? If something starts bothering me, I know how to pick a book up. I got a couple of them at home. I even got me a 3rd edition the other day. Didn't even know I had it. Bought it at a bookstore. Started to get it away. I thought, I'm going to keep that. Just to have it. Love to have me a 1st edition. Just to brag about it. Maybe one of these days I'll win the Kentucky Lottery or something. I'll buy me one if I ever start playing it. Because if I ever did, sure in the hell would. Because, you know, I know every problem that I have in life, it's in the basic text of the solution, is it? I know that if I need to work on a certain step, that it's in the workbook. I know that if I need to take time out with my higher power, that I can pick up our daily book. I know that if I need to know something that's going on with our fellowship, that I can get online and Facebook and find it. Somebody on there know what's going on. I know how to go to meetings. I know how to go to any town I go into, and I'll find a meeting if there's anyone close. Because somebody in these rooms will know where there's a meeting at anywhere you go. There's people here from New York and everywhere else, I'm sure that I can find out how to get to their meetings. You know, and just like they come here, I'm quite sure that these people here can tell them about every meeting around. I might not be able to tell you the names of the meetings, but I can tell you where they're at most times, what times they are. See, I have trouble keeping up with the names. I'm lucky I can keep up with my home group name. I had four or five of them over the years. Brian, am I about talking enough? I'm getting. Am I done? Huh?
9 more minutes for a
while. How many?
I mean, if you go on, you're gonna beat
yourself. Yeah. I thought you said 90 there for a minute. I gonna say nobody fucking that way in hell. I can talk that long. No. Like I said, I might not like you personally. I might not like the things you do, and sometimes I got to look why I don't like them. Sometimes I'm envious. But if you're sitting here and you're trying to be clean and you're trying to change your life to a better way of living, I love you as brothers and sisters. I would go the last step other than using dope with you. I refuse to use dope with you. Most times I'd give you the last dollar I got, or at least share it with you. If you're here in these rooms, if you're here in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, because I've learned that the only way I can keep anything is if I'm willing to give it away. It ain't just saying it was words, but really being truly honest, willing to do it. I've not went through everything, but I have seen addicts that's went through about every imaginable thing that could happen. My best friend, like I say, he's the one who helped me form this region. I was with him when his grandmother raised him. I was with him at her funeral. I was a pallbearer. As soon as we left the little family thing, we come right straight to Lexington. We drove 100 some miles. We went to a meeting. He shared about it. I've watched people go through divorces. I've seen people go through about everything you imagine, and they stayed clean. And that gives me hope that I can do the same shit and thing. You know, and if you're here tonight and you want this way of life, get some people's phone numbers. Don't be scared to call them. You know, that phone might feel like 20 pounds or 100 pounds, but I guarantee if you was doing dope, you wouldn't have a bit of trouble calling your fucking dope dealer. You know, call some people that's in recovery that might help you save your ass tonight instead of your face. You know, I've learned that I ain't good looking by no means, so I don't worry about my fucking face. I worry about my ass, because it can fall off. And like I say, just because I've got a little over 29 years, guess what? I'm not immune from being a fucking using addict. I'm one bad choice away. One bad choice. One wrong time. If I ever think I'm immune, that I'm cured, then I'm dying real quick. Because I will tell myself that it would be okay to use dope if I ever think I'm cured. And with that, I'm going to shut the fuck up. Yay. If it ain't long enough, Brian, hell with you.